Okay, so I can totally see you as like a Indiana Jones type archaeologist, like one of the ladies that went down in the Homo Naledi cave in Africa and crawled through those amazingly tiny and no light spaces to find this amazing treasure.
Hello, and welcome to What If I Quit? This is the show that invites four people to reach out to their friends and families to learn what kinds of jobs they would have if they didn't do what it is that they do. I'm your host, Jessica Ray Herzogenrath. First, we'll hear from Leslie Waters from El Paso, Texas.
Last week, I visited my family in Sacramento, California. It was June, peak produce season in the Central Valley. My mom and I went to the farmers market, which is held on Sunday mornings under a freeway overpass downtown. There were all kinds of incredible fruits and vegetables: cherries, blackberries, strawberries, tomatoes, carrots, cucumbers. We bought a few pounds of apricots to make jam, and people seemed to be enjoying themselves. Friends chatted over coffee. Dads pushed their little ones in strollers. Others had more serious objectives: finding the perfect avocado, searching out the last mandarin orange before the heat overwhelms them and there's no more citrus until next winter. I noticed some vendors had bread and pastries: danishes, cinnamon rolls, banana bread. I turned to my mom and said, "What if I quit my job, moved home, and opened an artisanal rye bakery and sold my bread at the Sacramento Farmers Market?" In the real world, when I'm not daydreaming about caraway seeds and malted rye grains, I'm a history professor. It's a job that, for the most part, I really like. It's a job that took years and years of training and quite a bit of luck to even get. But it requires that I live apart from my family and away from my hometown, and I miss it. And sometimes I wonder, what would life look like if I chose a different path? I'm hardly alone in having these kinds of thoughts. My friends and colleagues often have conversations about what our lives would look like if we did something else. When I asked them what they thought I would do if I wasn't a history professor, they had a bunch of different responses.
If Leslie wasn't a history professor, she would be an organic farmer.
A tour guide?
A baker?
A writer? Judge?
I think my friends and family know me pretty well, and I'm not surprised by any of their responses. Apart, maybe, from my best friend Christina, who said,
If Leslie weren't a historian, I think that she would be a translator potentially.
She knows all too well that speaking foreign languages in high-pressure situations gives me crippling anxiety. Every time I have to give a presentation or have a conversation with a historian in Hungarian, she has to give me a pep talk so I can get through it. If I was a translator, I'd probably have to hire her full time for emotional support. I think I'll pass for both our sakes. Otherwise, I see two distinct threads in the responses. There's those related to the literary world and those related to the culinary world. My mom mentioned,
Maybe a literary agent or a reviewer of manuscripts. Reading was always important, and she had a great recall of what she read.
That's definitely something I use all the time in my work. It comes in very handy when I'm leading a seminar. She also mentions,
Maybe a sports writer, statistician, something along that line.
she's on to something there because my next book project dabbles in the history of sport. But it's the culinary professions that really intrigue me at the moment. My sister says,
Leslie wasn't a history professor. I think she would be some sort of cook. She was always helping out in the kitchen when we were young and was really into cooking and baking.
But even in my rye bakery fantasy, the historian in me would still have a role to play. Where did people eat rye bread in the past? How was it traditionally prepared? Why did it kind of fall out of favor in the 20th century? I could maybe cater my business to the large Ukrainian and Russian diasporas that live in Northern California. Why did they migrate there and when? What's the rye bread like in their homelands? The deeper into the daydream I go, my brain comes up with more questions to research. My mom seems to understand this tendency in me.
Whatever she might have chosen, it would have had something to do with history, as her passion and love for history started at a very young age.
And that gets to why I probably made the right career choice, at least for now. But there's no harm in trying out some rye bread recipes, just in case.
Next, we're hearing from me, your host, Jessica Ray Herzogenrath, from Bryan, Texas. All of the responses that I received are from people who have known me for at least 8 years. Some of them have known me much longer.
Hi, my name is Krista. I am the fabulous younger sister of the even more fabulous Jessica.
While some of the particular responses surprised me, like this one from my close friend and colleague, Elijah Gibson.
I think with your attention to detail, I could really see you doing something that involves numbers. Maybe not necessarily accounting, but something where you are using numbers to figure out things.
Truth be told, I have never seen myself as someone with a head for figures, and the running joke among many of my friends and family has been that the only numbers I could handle were 5, 6, 7, 8. Dancers out there, you know what I mean. Many of the responses reflect the types of jobs that I have often, at different times in my life, imagined myself having, and honestly, may still see myself having sometime in the future.
Badass lawyer fighting for social justice issues or the underdog.
I think she would be a writer and content creator for historical drama and fiction.
I think that she would be a fantastic author of children's books, the kind of children's books that would still impart wisdom because she can't not impart wisdom on others.
She would be working for some super cool, out of the way, very unique museum, and she would be the docent giving tours and fascinating everybody that came to visit.
Okay, I'm probably not going to be going to law school at this point in my career, but I really could see myself writing historical fiction, or even authoring a children's book. And I absolutely could see myself finding a gorgeous landscape and nestling myself into some small out-of-the-way museum as its docent. But besides these perhaps most obvious or more obvious alignments with the kind of work that I am currently doing, there were other responses that I think also reflect this theme of the importance of building relationships and thinking about human interconnectedness. One of my favorite suggestions comes from a very close friend and colleague of mine, and while it deviates from my usual emphasis on human-to-human interaction, I have to admit that I am thoroughly enamored with the idea of creating a loving space for animals and fostering a community shelter that cares for all of our furry friends. What I've enjoyed most about this thought experiment is how affirmative it has proven. It has been phenomenal to hear the people that I most value in my life recognize the value of my work, and it's also incredibly exciting to hear that they still see possibility in me.
Yeah, this is a hard one because I don't want to imagine you not doing the things that you're doing now, because that means that we wouldn't be working together.
And if all else fails, I can always take up the suggestion of my younger sister.
She also could be a ruler of a small country because she could handle it.
And now we'll hear from Donna Bissell from Springfield, Illinois.
So I wanted to teach English because I love the music of language, corny as that sounds. I love seeing how people express themselves and tell their stories and thinking about all the things folks can say in their languages and their stories directly and especially indirectly. And in some ways, that's also what I loved about some of my previous jobs, because I've had many jobs outside of the university or college setting. In fact, I've now spent almost as much time as a professor, 19 years, as I spent in my prior jobs, which included being a nurse, an RN and public health nurse, and then a speech therapist and director of rehab services. Our thought experiment has me thinking about what others see in me and what it says about what I value, how I live out what I love. So I posed our question to friends and colleagues who have known me for a very long time. So yeah, I'm a girl boss. A lot of my friends noted that I like and I'm good at directing things.
I think you would be a wonderful choral ensemble conductor.
I especially love the idea of being a choral director that my friend Ray noted, because it touches on my love of music. It reminds me that I would spend so much more time listening to music and playing as many instruments as I could, especially in a group or ensemble of some sort, being part of a community, making and saying something together.
Building community. Yeah, building community.
So my friend Laura also hit on another thing there, which is my love of community, and another on my love of travel and talking.
You could make a great host for either a podcast or a travel channel.
Being a travel show host of some sort is something I hadn't considered. Almost everyone said something about my ability to herd people and to coach them into doing things that they may not be all that anxious to do with my enthusiasm and persistence.
Enthusiastically leading people on tours around lakes and rivers in her kayak?
I don't often remember how infectious enthusiasm can be. It's uplifting. It motivates people. And I also cop to being the oldest kid in a large family, and some legacies leave a mark.
How about being a translator at the UN? You have to have a lot of diplomacy and patience for that kind of job.
I don't think of myself as patient. I never feel patient, ever. So it's something that my friends see that I can be both patient and diplomatic, with my friend Tina. And not just with people, but with animals, too. I apparently am quite capable of dog diplomacy, as my friend Ray said.
I actually think you'd be a wonderful dog trainer, especially for dogs who are edgy.
I love the rescue dog. I heard quite a bit about being an advocate, especially for those least able to speak up for themselves.
Children with special needs, pushing for accommodations and legislation and just spaces for them. And
so what am I doing teaching the humanities and focusing on language? This is an important question to me personally. I have this long-standing nagging doubt about whether I'm still doing something worthwhile with my career as a professor. And by no longer being a nurse or a speech therapist, I found great satisfaction in these earlier jobs. I really like helping people who were ill or struggling or needed support in some way. But these jobs were good also because others saw them as good or noble or economically valuable. So this thought experiment has reminded me of some other more fundamental ideas about what I think is good for me and for others, which is harder to see, but at heart, it's what drives and motivates me. So teaching English has given me an even fuller and more joyful space for the things I love and others love about being human in real life, talking with each other, creating, accomplishing, organizing, advocating together, and just finding stories and voices that lift ourselves and others up.
Our final profile today comes from Gretchen Busel from Denton, Texas.
I was really eager, you could say, to gather as many reactions as I could. I probably do spend, even still, as a fully formed, confident adult, too much time thinking about how other people see me. I decided to post a request for crowdsourced help on Facebook. That tells you a little something about me, how old I am. That's my primary method of reaching out to friends and acquaintances. I asked people to send me an audio message answering our question, what else would I be? The responses came in pretty fast and furious. Everyone felt like a little message of love I'll listen to one after another, just laughing and maybe a bit crying sometimes, thinking, you see me, you see me. The answers range from the more realistic.
An artist.
Some sort of photographer.
To the more fantastic, let's say.
A goddess? An absolute goddess?
I was surprised, not surprised, to hear how many people think I should be in charge of something.
A stage director.
I have pretty much always been bossing people around, after all. But there are a lot of different ways to be creative or to be in charge, so I decided to really listen to what my beloved friends and family, my colleagues, my former students were telling me. Saying I would be a photographer is one thing. It's another to know that, as someone who's desperate to see as much of the world as possible, that I still wouldn't work for National Geographic.
Gretchen's not particularly racist, so probably not that.
It not only shows me that my beloved friends know what I love to do, but it also suggests that maybe I'm good enough to keep doing it.
She would be a world-famous dungeon master.
Doesn't just validate my nerd status as a casual Dungeons & Dragons player. A world-famous dungeon master is a master storyteller, a world builder. A world builder who can manage resources, keep time, do accurate math, and manage conflicting player personalities. A dungeon master, a stage director, is coordinating humans, orchestrating successful collaboration, putting on a hell of a spectacle. I can do that! A dungeon master or director is also a little bit of a dictator, maybe. And at least according to my people, I might be a little judgy. I will forever love them, however, for saying it in very positive ways.
She would be running the Feminist Institute for cottagecore, niche hobbies, and fancy glasses.
A professional career reactioner.
I think this means I have taste. Or at the very least, they know that I'm never shy about telling you what I think about your taste. I am, after all, a person who needs to stand in my integrity. And sometimes that extends to saying what I think about your shoes. Compiling all of the responses, I would say I definitely heard things I wanted to hear. I want to think that I can astound the world.
I can totally see Gretchen Buesel as that person.
Like everyone else, I want to know that I matter. I think this experiment reminded me that I make meaning all the time. I love my people for believing that I could do that on a big scale and on a small scale. Yes, I could be a comic book illustrator, but the story they say I'd tell would be about my people, my chosen family. I want to be all these things. I am all of these things right now. I'm a professor. I study humans and what we create. I'm a human who creates. Of course I wake up feeling discouraged and undervalued and underpaid. Of course I think, what if I quit? What would I do? But imagining who else, where else I would be just makes me all the more glad to be where I am. I'm going to use my favorite adjective here. I'm absolutely chuffed to know that who I am now, who I have trained and practiced, sweated and bled and cried to be, is a very much possible version of all the impossible things my friends and family think I could be. That I'm already apparently the kind of person you might just trust with your life.
If Dr. Buesel was not a professor, she would be a hike leader and would give people really great advice on how to complete this hike without death.
This podcast was produced as part of the National Humanities Center Podcasting Institute in summer 2024. We each would like to thank our institutions for funding our participation: Texas A&M University, Texas Woman's University, University of Illinois Springfield, and University of Texas, El Paso. Also, we would like to thank everybody who responded to our questions, and especially thank Teddy Herzogenrath for his cover art and closing contribution.
Hello? Is this working? I'm not